This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 322 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me from his recumbent state in his bed, no doubt, Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Asleep. Oh, yeah, I'm tired. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little... I did something today that I have not done. I went to a place today.
You could have stopped after I did something today and we all would have been stunned.
That's right. So I went somewhere today.
All right.
Somewhere that I haven't been in over 30 years.
Right, the library?
And part of the reason why came back to me fairly quickly. I went to the gym.
All right.
Do you know people do that like more than once a week?
I know, it's insane, isn't it?
I went there and oh man, you know? The people you meet. You've seen them, Bruce. Have you seen them?
Not recently, no.
Yes, I went to the gym.
Yeah, right.
I got on a treadmill and walked for an hour, but that's about the extent of my gyminess.
Right. There was a great meme on Facebook that said, I try to exercise, but I'm allergic to it. I came over all red and rashy and sweaty.
That's right.
That stuff's dangerous.
And I ache. Yeah, so I'm a little on the tender side this evening. I'm a little bit...
So what inspired this? Going through a midlife crisis. You're looking for a new wife.
This is like number three. How many midlife crises do you get in a lifetime? Yeah. When I met my current wife, my parents thought it was my midlife crisis.
Oh, right.
Well, she was 21 and blonde.
Right. And how old were you at the time?
Well, I was 33.
Okay.
And not quite divorced.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they thought she was my flingy sort of go to get it out of your system, then go find a normal person.
Right. Yeah.
19 years later, here we are.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so how have you been, my friend, other than that?
Mate, not too bad. Still sore, believe it or not, from the dentist a week ago, which is insane.
It all sorted, though?
But yeah, as far as I know, it's all good. It'll sort itself out in due course, I'm sure.
Oh, and then my eyes tested, thinking about going to the doctory type people.
Oh, yeah.
It's tested a couple of days ago.
And you've got some?
Well, they said I've got awesome eyes. Pretty lovely blues with like little brown flecks. They have these 2-year checkups,
Yep.
Because that way they can say there's nothing wrong with your eyes and they can bill you anyway, or bill the government, or there's something wrong with you. We get to bill the government and we get money out of you for glasses.
Yeah.
So they said there's nothing wrong with me. I've already have reading glasses that I wear occasionally.
Yeah.
And she tried to convince me that these new ones would be better than ones I've got. I'm going, lady, when I put these reading glasses on, the world is so sharp and clear and bright, The whole world feels dull when I take them off. I said, can you make my normal eyes look like I'm looking around the world? And apparently there's nothing wrong with my normal eyes, so...
Right.
So I've got glasses anyway.
Okay.
And she goes, you kind of almost need them here, so get them for me. I just want to see if I can make the world look as clear and bright and vibrant as my reading glasses do.
Right.
Yeah, at 2 feet.
Right.
So, yes. Anything exciting during the week?
I've got a shoot coming up on Wednesday of next week.
Do you?
But nothing this week.
Oh, just whilst I think about it.
Yeah.
And we should have discussed this before we went on air.
Right.
But then again, we don't do that sort of stuff.
No.
I had this idea today whilst I was on the toilet.
Oh, dear.
The best thing. I'm thinking, because I'm going away in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe for one episode whilst I'm away, we could ask a listener to guest host.
Yeah.
If someone was to volunteer.
Okay.
Or even a couple of people if they want to.
Yeah.
Someone like Melena would be nice to talk to.
Okay.
Someone in a different country would be kind of nice. Yep. One of our lovely American friends.
Yep.
Someone with like a little bit of a different viewpoint and perspective on what's going on in the world around them would be kind of nice.
Yep.
And maybe just talk a bit about their photography and their challenges, joys.
That'd be something different.
I thought it was a good one.
It's like an audio version of Pass the Camera.
Exactly. I like that. No, I'm sure. I'm glad I thought of that. That's good.
Speaking of which,
what you didn't do it? Did
I
you?
Didn't. Oh, I did yeah. not get to meet up with David last week as was the plan because
you posted it.
Well, yeah, so I posted it.
Well, you did.
So here's the thing, right? So it was the Friday we were supposedly going to hook up, and we were also going to go out and shoot with Alana, the girl who owned the horses.
Oh yeah.
And it was meant to be raining and thunderstorms and all that sort of stuff. And so mid afternoon she went, "Oh, look, can we maybe do it another time? Because you know weather's going to be crap." And at that point, I'd just come out from the dentist, and I was like, yeah, I'm completely okay with that. So, and of course, then the weather stayed absolutely perfect, but I was in no shape. I don't think I could have gone out and shot, even if I wanted to. So, as a consequence...
If the drugs were still in your system, you might have come out with some good stuff.
Who knows? So, yeah, so I ended up... I posted the stuff off to David, so hopefully he's got it by now. So, yeah. It's on its way, people.
It's started.
That's right. We'll have this photo book out by Christmas. Tell you watch.
What, I'll give you my hotel's in India's address, and you can ship it to there. I'll take a photo and put it back in the post again.
Well, I don't know if that'll work because
it's not going to work at all.
No.
I'm not carrying it around. They go, "Oh, it didn't arrive. I must have lost it somewhere." yeah. No.
So what's been happening in your week?
Oh, you know, well, my brother's over from England.
Oh, okay.
And so we went and had a family get-together.
So he's from the part of the family that you do like?
Well, we went to my sister's place.
Okay.
See? He said 5 words to me. I told him to F off. Didn't speak to him for the rest of the day. Left without saying goodbye.
Right. Okay.
So that was good.
So he's from that the... He's from the regular side of your family.
It went better than I expected. It was better than I
You were expecting it to get physical.
Oh, guys, some people are idiots. He hasn't seen me in like 4 years, and the first thing he puts out of his mouth is an insult.
Oh, really?
So just F off. Just don't even waste my life talking to you.
Stop wasting my oxygen.
Pretty much. You know, yeah. It's amazing because you know, I'm such a good, normal person and he seems so weird. Odd, really. Yeah.
That is unfathomable.
Unfathomable. but I've been collecting some gear this week for my trip.
Right.
And I've got some high-speed sync workshops this next 2 Saturdays coming up.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to collect some gear today to learn how to use it before Saturday.
So this is your new flashes that are Canon compatible.
Well, who knows what they are, really. But I went and got some Nikon ones just to be on the safe side.
That's right. You had the Canon versions.
Had the Canon version.
You didn't have the Nikon versions. That's right, yes.
Something okay with it, yeah.
Cool.
I went and picked up some new Elenchrom high-speed sync triggers and high-speed sync heads.
Oh, wow.
For the Elenchrom Quadra.
Yeah.
Quadra Ranger. So it's so we'll be using that as well. It's a different kettle of fish again.
Yeah, right. Now, while we are talking about lights...
Yes.
How did you go with your cube light thingamajiggy?
Oh, them?
Yeah.
I've never used them.
You're kidding. Why not?
They're in a box in the back room.
Why haven't you used them?
Probably laziness.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
I saw an email came out today from the day. Apparently they've released some studio lights.
Well, that's what made me remember them. And the fact that I hadn't seen any photos from you taken with them. So
that's only because I had... Oh, these are cheap. These studio lights are only $109.
And I see they've now got a power adapter so you can run them off AC.
Which is good because I think that's the problem. I charged this battery possibly not for long enough.
Right.
Got like 4 shots out of it and not enough power and I gave up on them. I thought I'll learn. I'll play with them. I'll play with them at another time when I have time.
Right. And never go back
never
to
have time.
Right.
Well, I have lots of time, but nothing to do. I don't do anything effective with that time.
Right.
I haven't. Why are these LED light cubes so cheap?
I don't know. You know the guy who built them. Ask him.
No, I should. because the... and what's the difference between those and the other ones, I wonder?
Another question for the guy who made them.
Stuff I could have looked in earlier, really, isn't it, when you think about it, before the podcast started?
Yeah.
This is riveting listening.
Yeah.
So I went and collected the new Elochrome high-speed triggers.
Nice.
Which are awesome. This is amazing. I turned on my Quadra Ranger, turned on this trigger. It scanned, bang, there's the unit straight away.
Wow.
If you have like four Quadra Rangers, picks them all up instantly. You can control them all independently powered.
Wow.
And you can choose, and this is one of the best things about it, you can do first or second curtain sync.
Wow.
A lot of off-camera flash stuff doesn't allow you to do that second curtain stuff, which is a bit frustrating.
Wow.
So that's really cool. And, of course, it does high-speed sync up to 8,000th of a second.
But hang on, just come back a bit. The front curtain, rear curtain thing, I thought that was dictated by the body of your camera.
Maybe. No, well, maybe it has. Maybe the body has to be able to do it as well, but... If your flash is it? No, Canon flashes will only do rear curtain sync when Canon's on the camera. When the flash is on the camera. Okay, so if the flash isn't on the camera, it won't do it.
That's interesting. I would have to go and check it, but I'm fairly certain that. Yeah, because on my A850, I just have it on rear curtain sync all of the time by default. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that I've done long exposure stuff. With my flash wave triggers, and they do rear curtain sync.
Couldn't they tell?
As per the, you know, the menu option on the body of the camera.
Couldn't they tell you, my friend?
Hmm. Interesting.
Couldn't they tell you?
I shall have to check that out.
Yeah. So I certainly know Canon don't do it.
Right.
In fact, if your flash isn't even on your camera, you can't even access that menu. It's just grayed out.
Right.
So you can't even get access to it. So... So that's all interesting.
Yeah.
So these triggers look awesome. I said up to 8,000th of a second.
Wow.
I went out very quickly this afternoon to drag my 8-year-old out and did a couple of quick shots just to make sure, because I've got to do this workshop on Saturday. I've never used the gear.
Yep.
So these are all manual flash. So it's high-speed sync manual flash. And then my Godox stuff is high-speed TTL.
Wow.
So the workshop will be doing both types.
Wow. You
know, country and Western.
Nice.
To show the differences between the two setups and et cetera, and stuff.
I just remembered what happened this week when you asked me what had I been up to this week. We went and saw Peter Coulson.
Yeah, sure, he did too.
Yeah, so he did a talk at the Castle Hill RSL Photography Club on Tuesday night. Yeah.
Say good day for me.
Mate, I couldn't get near him.
Oh,
seriously, he as he admitted himself, he could... talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles. He was still going at 11 o'clock when one of the club members got up and shut him up and said, look, we'd love to sit here all night, but some of us have to work tomorrow. And so then once they wrapped it up, some people scooted for the door because obviously they did want to get home and get to bed. And the remaining people...
Well, the camera clubs, I mean, they're all in their 70s, don't
they? Yeah, that's exactly right. And then the remainder all flocked around Peter Coulson, so...
I thought old people didn't sleep or didn't have to sleep as long. That shouldn't be an excuse for why.
So anyway. But,
was it good though?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And he had some... He had a whole range of interesting things to talk about, you know, about the industry and just, you know, the general mechanics of the industry, about his workflow, about the software that he uses and the software that he hates.
So what software does he hate?
Lightroom.
I'm not a mad fan of it myself.
It's really? Okay.
Yeah, hardly ever use it.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. He didn't like. It seemed like his major bugbear was with the clarity slider in Lightroom. I don't know. You know whether there's. Well, I guess there's credence to what he says. I mean,
What's his particular beef with that? Is it he doesn't like the result? Doesn't like the people overuse it?
I think his main claim was that it. I don't even want to say because I'd be misquoting him, and I don't want to misquote him. But he has the software from Hasselblad, and he mentioned that there are rumors that Hasselblad are going to release their software, which is called Focus, Phocus. That they're going to release that as open source later this year.
Yeah.
And what it is a raw conversion engine, so similar to ACR or Lightroom. It's not a cataloging piece of software. It is merely a raw converter. And it will, on a Mac, you can use it for pretty much every brand. Like it'll read Canon RAW files, it'll read Nikon RAW files, it'll read Sony RAW files. But on a PC, it will only read Hasselblad files. But he is saying that there's talk that later in the year Hasselblad will be releasing that software as open source for everyone to be able to use it on any platform with any raw file. So, but he seemed to be a big fan of that, and he had a thing called Photo Mechanic that he was rather fond of, and he talked through some of his black and white skin retouching techniques, which pretty much used Photoshop, where he would create two curve layers, and he'd, you know, bring one curve downward a little bit, and he'd name that layer the burn layer, but then he'd fill the mask with black, and then he would do another layer where he boosted the curve, and he'd call that the dodge layer, and then he'd fill that mask with black. And then as he looked at his image, wherever he wanted to lighten some of the skin tones, he would paint with white on the mask of the dodge layer, and where he wanted to darken things, he'd paint with white on the mask of the burn layer. But one thing that I found very interesting was he said when he's retouching in Photoshop, and he was referring to working with a tablet and stylus, he was saying that he has density at 100% and flow at 1%.
Yeah.
And that caught me off guard, because I've always been the other way around. I've always worked with density.
You're a rebel, though, dude.
Yeah. Well, I guess I just never contemplated what the differences might be. I've always had really low densities, like, you know, 2-5%, but with flow at 100%. And he demonstrated this beautifully, where he started a document, just a grey layer, and then he started painting with, you know, low density but high flow. And what happens is that the whole brush size appears for every stroke.
Yeah.
But when you go the other way, when you go 100% for density but drop the flow right back to 1%, your light, quick strokes are really thin, like hairline strokes, even though you might be using a really fat brush. So it becomes like pressure sensitive, and you can build it up. So the more pressure will, you know, in digital terms, push more of the bristles onto the page to create a fatter stroke. It sounds a bit weird to try and describe it, but I had a play with it on Wednesday night, and I really liked it. So I
saw your results on Facebook.
Oh, did you?
Hey.
You didn't comment, so you obviously weren't impressed.
I saw your results on Facebook.
Yeah. And?
I saw them.
Right. Thank you.
To be honest, I can't remember because it's been days.
At least a day and a half, yeah.
I may have been looking on my phone. I can't remember.
Right.
But I couldn't see any difference.
Right.
But that could be because the photo size is small on the phone, or the way Facebook crunched stuff.
Yeah.
To me, the one on the left looked kind of crappy, and the one on the right, about equal.
Right. As I said in the comment alongside that image, if anything, I probably went, you know, not heavy-handed enough, because I didn't want to go over the top.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah, by all means.
Always go over the top.
Right.
But go over the top for the experience of learning how far you goes, and then pull it back. Don't go and try to go gently.
Right.
Because gently, it takes too long to see a difference. Go and see a bold difference. Right. Oh, okay, I can see what that's doing. Now what if I do half of that? Oh, okay, I see how it's changed. Yep. And start bold, come backwards.
Right.
Yeah, I'll always go in and I'll do if I'm doing Photoshop, I'll do a mask,
yep.
a layer, I should say, do something bold, and then reduce the opacity to drop that intensity back to a place that's not as ridiculous as where I got it to.
Yeah,
but I always like to go over the top first. It's like when I'm shooting with flash outside. I'd rather go as moody and dark and underexposed as the scene as possible, and then pull it back through subsequent shots to get the whole range of shots. But I want to go as far as I can first, because that's sort of puts you at the further limits, and then you come back. So
fair enough.
So try that. Okay. Especially someone who's apt to be a bit more cautious like yourself.
Yeah.
it's good to push it that bit further rather than try and be subtle straight away.
Yeah. But look, it was good to be able to employ the techniques that I'd seen only 24 hours before, while it was still fresh in my mind as to what he had done and how he'd done it.
Let me get this right. You saw something 24 hours before and it was still fresh in your mind? How do you do that?
I have a slightly longer retention span than you do.
A what?
I have a slightly longer attention span.
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Boom, boom. Oh, dear. So anyway, it was a good night. It was a good night. And Rakesh was there?
Was he?
Rakesh is back from his 12 months of gallivanting around the planet.
Isn't that nice?
And due to settle down and find himself a job and be a respectable human being again.
Oh, that's lovely. Back in the country.
That's right. Rob Van Elven was there, who I hadn't seen for ages. Another member of the Sydney Photographers Meetup group. And David Schofield, who also happens to be my accountant, who is a member of that photography club. He was the one who told me about Peter Coulson.
That's right. I remember you saying being last there week.
And talking. So he was there with one of his sons. So, yeah. So it was good to catch up with a couple of buddies. And, yeah. What's that you've just sent me? A link to Facebook?
Whilst you've been rambling on, I've been editing a photo.
Good on you. Oh, nice.
That's what I dragged my 8-year-old to test that flash stuff this afternoon.
So nice.
Pop that up and show you whilst we're speaking on the stuff. So
lovely.
It's a pain in the ass shoot. Blowing wind, fabric, the kid trying to stare into the sun. Squinting into the sun. Because it's too windy.
The flash is off to her.
No, I made it look the other way. They did this. She's looking away from the sun, but then the wind's in my eyes. Like, oh, it's just all too hard. kids.
Never work with kids or wind.
Yeah, all kids.
Ah, nice image. Very nice.
Thanks. Just a bit of farting around.
Yeah.
Bit of after school fun.
Anyway, so back to your list.
Oh, yes, some stuff. I'm sure everyone in the photo world's been on to Nikon this week about their photo competition in Singapore.
That was hilarious.
You know, the best, for those who don't know, where you've been living, those who don't know what we're talking about, some guy won a photo competition in Singapore because he took a photograph up this set of steps.
Like a safety ladder up the side of a building,
And photoshopped a plane in the top of it.
Yeah. You know? And then passed it off as being right place, right time.
Yeah, didn't even put it in the centre. I mean, make it properly. And then all these people called him out on it showing that how poorly it was photoshopped in the first place.
Yeah.
But what was great about it is all the memes that have been out this week.
Absolutely.
The trains coming down the stairwell and
Godzilla looking down the stairs.
you can go look at that. Some great stuff. Yeah, it just shows the humor in the photo community.
Yeah.
So that's all good. And Nikon's apologized, and the guy himself apologized, and then was blasted
like promptly trolled badly.
Pretty much. I think if he could have got away with it, he would have quite happily. Reg Vardy made a comment during the week about me being not so impressed with CES. What I was meaning when I said it last week in my frivolous manner was as an industry, it was a very disappointing launch, CES. There was so little to inspire the industry came out of there. Right. Yes, the Nikon D5 looked fabulous. I'm kind of intrigued by the Nikon 360 camera. I think that's kind of cool. And as he says, a replacement for his beloved Nikon D300.
Yep.
So not saying there weren't some good cameras coming out, but this week Canon's announced the 1DX2. What's that, 2.5 weeks after CES?
Mm-hmm.
Surely they would have known that was coming. They could have put that out there, We want people going to the CES where it's easy. I mean, people are being the press.
Yeah,
I've been there. It is absolutely nightmarish. You just. I wanted to visit a friend of mine's stall in the building next to where the photo side was.
Yeah,
it was roughly two city blocks, maybe three city blocks. Took me an hour and a half to get there.
Wow,
an hour and a half to get back, fighting through the 300,000 people in these buildings.
Jeez.
So it's madness, and it's huge.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've got all these people and all this press and all this stuff being announced. Our industry needs to stand out. there's not many showcase industries left for us to stand out against the rest of the tech world. You know, these people should all be going bang and doing major release days and really trying to pump up their own attention. Yeah.
So if it wasn't photographic announcements to steal the show, what did steal the show? Was it all about 4K TVs and all that sort of stuff?
Well, yes, it's all sorts of is everything.
I realise it's, you know, it's the consumer electronics show. Yeah, I get that.
Everything from phone cases through to drone. Yeah, well, drones were really big. Once again, because it wasn't my industry, I wasn't particularly interested. And something came out and was, oh, look at that. Yeah, yeah, stuff like virtual reality products and all this. That was all kind of big.
Yeah, that's but for me, huge, you know, at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of stuff, you know, the latest, you know, 46K TVs or whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff was all there. But our industry needs a help, you know. And in the couple of weeks since the show finished, yeah, Olympus with the Pen F, awesome piece of kit, should have been announced. The Canon with their new pro top of the range camera, you know,
it would have gone
head to head though on the same event as Nikon. So Nikon's had a 2 or 3 week head start in pushing their top of the range product.
Okay, so harken back to Photokina, which was early last year?
No, Photokina is the second half of the year, but it's only every 2 years, so it was a year and a half ago.
My God, was it really that long ago?
Exactly, so it's not until September.
Okay, so were there product announcements or good teasers at Photokina?
Can't remember, it was a year and a half ago.
Because what I'm thinking is maybe the industry is thinking that it makes more sense to do big launches or at least teasers at something like Photokina that's only photocentric.
No, because they had their own photo show in America that was huge, and they decided not to do it anymore.
Right.
So they had and that was where all the major announcements. Plus, it's only every second year. So what, you're going to wait every 2 years to launch a product?
No. But
Pentax have been teasing people for weeks about their new full 35mm size sensor DSLR.
Right.
They could have been there. I don't get it.
Well, I'm just wondering, does the photo industry have a little bit of an inferiority complex at CES because of, you know, the enthusiasm for all those other things like VR and, you know, 8K televisions and whatnot. So is that why they're not doing their big product announcements at CES?
No, they're just pathetic.
But if that was the case, you would then have to say, well, what's the point of being there?
Exactly. What's the point of Sony announcing new cameras this week and new lenses this week?
Yeah.
You know? Why? It just doesn't make any sense. You've got the product. It's obviously ready to go. Talk about it, yeah? Imagine if Sony and Pentax and Nikon and Canon and all these guys all got into one area and said, we're going to have this massive launch day of photography.
Mm.
The whole day is going to be nothing but new photo release stuff everywhere, you know? And that caused some buzz.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you personally would know the massive expense involved in putting a stand on at any trade show.
Yeah, but they're there anyway.
Yeah. Good point.
If Canon's there for the entire thing, they've released a couple of compact cameras.
Yeah.
Guess what? No one came by. No one cared. Oh, you've released a new $99 compact camera. Fab, can you tell us all about it?
Yeah.
Have we got some behind-the-scenes making videos of it?
Yeah.
Yo, anyway.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising because, as you say, you know, they obviously the 1DX2 Mark IV, whatever it's called, was obviously, you know, coming off production lines and sitting in boxes and ready to go, you would have thought, you know, you'd have made a little
bit. Or at the very least, you know, have some teaser campaign.
At least a teaser campaign, yeah.
Something. Yeah. Yeah, everyone knew it was coming anyway, but either way, you can still be doing a teaser, doing something to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
Why spend $500,000 or whatever going to a show for none? For people to come and see products that they can see in the camera store shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, so that was to clear up. Yeah, with Reg, I mean, totally. Yeah, not dissing the great Nikon stuff that came out. It was just as an overall, as an industry viewpoint, it was pretty darn pathetic.
Yeah.
Then our lovely Rob Coates.
Yeah.
He sent in that the thing about the thing put up there about the tinfoil with the flashy stuff.
So he said, read the El Bokeh wall. All the photography books I've read tell us not to have anything in your photos brighter than the main subject because the eye will be drawn to the brighter area. Seems to me that's what this crumpled foil does. Would you pay a photographer for your product shots if they were like the toy aircraft and the watch examples in the article? P.S. Welcome back, by the way. Now 2016 has really started at last. I would say...
Can I just say one thing? Stop reading the books. If all the, it's like going to the doctor and say, doctor, it hurts when I press here, it hurts when I press here. Well, don't press there, yeah. You know? It's pretty simple. It hurts when I do this. Well, stop doing it.
I think...
You can have an opinion for once, well, and then I'll
Reg, I agree that, you know, the brighter part of the image is what the eye will be drawn to.
It'd be Rob, not Reg.
But, sorry?
Rob, not Reg.
Oh, sorry, Rob. But at the same time, what a, you know, high key photography, you know, a large part of that.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. Look at any product photography.
Yeah, it's all shot in a white background.
It's all got white background. The white's brighter than the subject. Yeah. So what the problem is not so much the brightness, but the detail.
Yeah.
So a plain white background doesn't draw the eye because there's nothing for the eye to be drawn to.
Yeah.
There's no texture, there's no depth, there's no highlights and shadows. Where this stuff, of course, obviously has texture and detail, but at the same time, it's not something that holds the eye for a very long time.
I was going to say, it's not something you can focus on because it's all out of focus.
And there's also point-counterpoint.
In what sense?
So if you have like having a camera there, like that Fuji, so you've got this bright top of the camera, the silver bright top, and then this counterpoint of silver brightness in the background, it reinforces the object.
Yep.
Yeah. Here's the thing: if it works, it's right, and if it doesn't work, it's not.
Yes. And let's face it: if it was done right, all that soft bokeh would be completely out of focus. And you are absolutely correct. The product examples that were shown in the blog post were rather atrocious. But if you did it right, so your product that you are photographing, the subject of the photograph, if that was in focus for the depth required, you know, to cover the whole of the object, but the background was out of focus, even if it was brighter than the subject, you know, in terms of luminosity, your eye would still be drawn to the subject simply because the subject was in focus.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
I agree.
Okay. For once.
We both agree. Mark that one down. Yes. Special day.
What else?
The Irish.
Yeah.
Have it right as well.
Yeah, rule of thirds.
Rule of thirds. There's a very interesting article here. For once, it's quite good. The 10 myths about the rule of thirds.
Right.
And it's really good reading. Well, it's not really. It's pretty good reading.
Okay.
It's quite in-depth and goes through a lot of looking at a lot of classical works and looking at different viewpoints about something over outside of the simplistic rule of thirds,
right.
Different ways of thinking and seeing. So definitely worth a gander for those into that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I walked around a camera store today. But how's this, though?
Where did you find one?
Well, Melbourne's got a lot. Yeah, but okay. this is one I've never been to.
Right.
I don't know how many years it's been. There used to be an old place, an old camera store, donkeys years ago.
Right.
But a new company took it over, I don't know how long ago, and they've been there. So it's a company called Vanbar, Vanbar in Melbourne.
Right.
But it's an entire thing. And this thing's huge. It's like a warehouse.
Oh, okay.
And it's got stacks of cool stuff.
Right.
So I was really pleased to have a little.
Are they trying to be Australia's answer to B&H or something?
No, they're not that big, but they're. By comparison to your average camera store, which is slightly larger than the average bedroom, this was a big place. It was, you know, four or five bedrooms.
Right.
No, it was the size of a house. It was quite, but they had quite a broad range of stuff from papers and chemicals and secondhand enlargers and a hire department and lots of cool toys and stuff and a big lab to develop stuff. So it was quite good. But one thing I came across, which they had this brand of accessories called Jupio.
Right.
J-U-P-I-O, so obviously a quality brand. But they had these power banks, which I'm sure maybe I've seen before, but maybe never in a store.
Right.
And these basically, like you have the charge packs for your phones and stuff, these battery packs. This is for a camera. So it goes straight into your battery compartment of your camera.
Oh, wow.
And sits in your pocket via cable.
Oh.
You've got this, if you're going on a really intensive day shooting and or you don't want to be changing batteries in opportune moments, you can be running your camera off these big battery packs.
Right.
They've got them for Nikon, they've got them for Canon, for, even for Sony.
Wow.
So they're covering all the bases. So, yeah, I just thought that was an interesting little product I came across.
Yeah, right.
And as I was leaving the door, I saw this project that's going on in Australia called One Camera, 1,000 Smiles.
Okay.
.com.au. It's one camera with a one camera. And it's basically getting people to donate their used cameras, their old recycling, old cameras.
Oh, wow.
And they're taking them up into the Aboriginal communities and getting all the photography and all this sort of stuff, which I thought was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, nice. And it's a Facebook project.
It is. So if you've got some gear laying around.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely no use to you. Maybe it's worthwhile having a look.
Yeah, cool.
Maybe. I just thought it was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see something decent being done with stuff, with old gear. And then I came across this post today in one of the camera forums. I mean, the Victorian Wedding and Portrait Photographers or something it's called. I can't remember what it's called.
Right.
It could be Victorian Wedding and Second Shoot. I don't know. Who knows? I don't pay much attention. But listen to this. There's a photo of this guy getting married. And it goes, on Saturday the 30th of January 2016, Danielle Blah and myself got married at Sandringham Yacht Club. One small problem. And this is them cutting the cake.
Yeah.
Right? All the people around and this person with the camera taking a photo of them, cutting the cake.
Right.
One small problem. The lady in this photo taking the photo of us cutting the cake wasn't one of our photographers.
Right.
She was there for a couple of hours taking photos of us and our guests, and our photographers have missed out on a lot of photos of our guests because they thought we hired this lady just to take photos of all our guests. Wow. One guest overheard her on the phone saying, I'm at the wrong wedding. Then she got up and left. At the moment, this is the best photo we have of her. It's the back of her head on the camera. So we're asking social media's help in sharing this photo to help track down this lady and hopefully purchase the photo she has of our special day.
Whoa.
So if people help us share this photo, I'd be very thankful. But here's the thing, you know, the photo the camera she's holding,
yeah.
A, she's holding the wrong way. It looks like a point and shoot camera.
Oh, God.
So I don't know how the so-called wedding photographers made this blue. To me, the onus is completely on the wedding photographers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Completely their fault.
Yeah.
They're not taking photos just because they kind of thought someone with a point and shoot was walking around doing shots.
Nah.
Something major wrong there. They stuffed up royally. And
absolutely.
They should be shot. But how's that? And then, I'm at the wrong wedding.
Wow.
Someone on the phone disappears.
So there's the question. If she's at the wrong wedding, what was her role at the correct wedding?
Who knows? Second shooter?
Yeah. So if you were the main act at the other wedding, you'd be pretty narky at her
If she's shooting the other wedding as a second shooter, her job wouldn't be just to show up at the service and such. She'd probably get to go and shoot the groom or something.
That's exactly right.
So she's done that. Surely when she's taken these photos, she recognises it's not the same bloke.
Geez, he's scrubbed up all right.
Taking photos of these people and doesn't recognise she's at the wrong wedding.
So oh, man.
That was kind of amusement.
That's phenomenal.
I saw this week that Nikon have announced they're going to increase the price of their lenses and flashes by up to 18%.
Oi, oi, oi.
Oi, oi, exactly. And I saw this mob called Photomate.
Right. Oh, yeah, I use Photomate.
Their new version, the R3, brings as better, far better raw editing.
Oh, cool. Cool.
And it's apparently a fairly cheap update right now if you're an old Photomate.
Well, I've already paid for the pro version of that, so.
Yeah, so you should be able to upgrade for only like a couple of bucks.
Oh, okay. So I'll need to pay again?
Yeah, because it's like, it's like if you go from Lightroom 4 to Lightroom 5 back in the olden days, you had to pay.
Okay.
It's an upgrade fee. But hang on a sec. The price they were asking for if you're a new user was only $8.09.
Right.
So we're not talking the realms of Photoshop here.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, users of the previous version R2 can purchase an upgrade at a reduced rate.
Yeah, reduced cheaper than $8.
Cheaper than $8.09. Okay. Well,
it's probably not going to break the bank anyway.
Probably not.
It always amazes me, people umming and ahhing about buying a 99-cent app.
I know.
It's 99 cents, people.
Yeah.
But oh, I don't know if this game's worth the 99 cents. Well, you know, you get 10 minutes of entertainment. It's all right. Yeah. Then I came across this couple who travelled around Asia for a year and did a hyperlapse of them running around all these places in Asia.
Oh, okay.
It's mad. It's like I applaud them their tenacity.
Yeah, right.
It's completely mad, but okay. I love it.
So is it a video or...?
It's a video, a hyperlapse video.
Yeah, right.
Shot over a year of them...
Oh,
in all
right.
Places they went. It's completely mad.
Oh,
so
I'll have to check that out. And that reminds me, I didn't see where... someone posted it on Facebook a couple of days ago. Oh, I can't remember who posted it now. But it was a video, a music video, and it was a foreign language thing. It was like a South American...
That was Carl Hemmings who put that up.
That's right. That was awesome. That was so well done.
So it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh,
but
okay.
That guy did it in 25 hours.
Yeah.
These people done it for a year.
Wow.
Obviously, that guy's probably taken more photos in the 25 hours than they'll stretch it out. But either way, it's as a project goes, it's a lot of commitment over 12
That's
months.
Massive, through. Massive amount of commitment.
So that was definitely worth having a little gander at.
Yeah, I will have a check out that.
Then I came across some guy who's done a bullet time video.
Yeah.
But using pinhole cameras.
Right.
Why? Because you can. Oh, man. But I'm going to love the ingenuity. Once again, the ingenuity, the dedication, the time, the effort, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's the people we hate.
Right.
So the next guy's there. This guy's done these surreal landscapes using drones.
Oh, okay.
And they're seriously cool.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I look at them going, no. They're somewhere between Dali and Escher.
So are we talking video or still?
Still photos.
Right.
Done with drones.
Wow.
Click on the link.
Oh, wow. It's like Inception. It's like Inception, the movie.
It's artificial Inception. I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Wow. That's very trippy.
Very cool stuff.
So, wow. I have to read up on how he did that.
It's pretty cool stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
some of the shots are just like, wow. Yeah.
Oy.
So that one, and a couple of more things from me. I saw this pretty cool clip from a movie from like 2011, but it really, really shows that the director used a 2,000mm lens for the shot to use this massive lens compression.
Yeah, right.
Of these guys standing on a runway with a prop plane coming to land behind them.
Yep.
So because of the 2,000mm compression, it really makes it look like it's really close.
Right.
And I thought it was a really good way of people getting to understand how compression works with lenses.
Yeah.
It's a great visual demonstration of it. So I thought, if you're trying to understand how lenses work, certainly on the big end, that's very, very cool.
Wow.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's really well done. Does it say what the name of the movie
is? It's from Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is a movie adaptation of the John le Carre spy novel.
Yeah.
More information than you wanted.
Exactly. And last, I said second last, because I just got an email through it. I was busy checking my emails.
Yeah.
Do you know, I said I've got that little router with the card reader.
Oh, yeah.
And all sorts of trouble. I can't get it to copy. I could be just completely technically incompetent. I can't get it to copy like a 16 gig card over in one fell swoop.
Right.
So they've given me $30 back.
Oh.
Out of the $36 it cost me, they've refunded me as a sorry for being so inconvenient.
Wow.
That's right. So I've now got this, if nothing else, I've now got this $6, 7,800 milliamp power bank.
Nice.
Wireless router.
Nice.
That's a bonus.
Now you can sit down and read the instructions. You'll find out how it actually works. And
you know, I've got them around somewhere. And last but not least, a little 6.5-minute comedy video done by a comedy group called Mommy for some reason.
Right.
But it's completely shot with the reversing camera of a Toyota Prius.
Right.
Okay. Why? Because they could. 6.5 minutes. First camera.
Okay. I'll have to check that one out as well.
Very, very mad.
Yeah.
And what's on yours? You got a few things there.
Okay, so the The first thing that I got from Rob Coates was an email, and he said, spotted this news item recently. There's hope for us yet, and it isn't even in focus. And this was the story about the photograph of a potato that sold for $1 million. I'm not sure what currency that was. I don't know if it was a million.
1.07 million US.
Yeah. And as he said, not even completely in focus.
Do you know, I hate to break Rob's bank. Not bank.
Burst his bubble.
That's the one.
Yep.
That doesn't give you any hope at all.
Because
you didn't think of it in the first place. Yeah. You didn't. Always people have been bleating on the net for a couple of weeks about this. Oh, it's a phone of a bloody potato. Oh, I could have done that. Yeah, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't shoot it, you didn't make it look awesome, you didn't get it in front of the right people, and you didn't get the $1 million.
That's right.
You know? So, unfortunately, a photo like that making $1 million doesn't give anyone realistically any more hope. Maybe it's even dashes them even further in my book. Because, geez, if something as simple as a photo of a potato can be good, what am I trying to do?
You know?
Even my potato photos don't look that good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I applaud the guy and I congratulate him for making the money. I mean, he's been slammed and all sorts of stupid stuff on the internet about this.
But it's no worse than the story we had a couple of years ago now about the yeah, most expensive prints ever sold, and that one of the Rhine River that was just like motion blur.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sold for like $9 million or something. It's like, what? Really?
And the thing is, yeah, Jack, I mean, I look at that. I think we're all missing the point as far as this is art, yeah? So therefore
it's
art.
It's marketing.
Its own realm. We shouldn't be trying to reach that guy, right?
Right.
That guy who buys the photo of a potato for $1.07 million. We should be trying to find the person who underbid the guy who put $0.05 million.
Yes.
And try and sell a potato photo to him.
Yeah.
I've got this other potato photo. In fact, I'll throw in a carrot and a parsnip.
Yes.
I'll give you a triple shot.
Yeah.
Let's call it an even mill.
Yeah.
They're the people we should be targeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Adam sent us the link about Seagate being slapped with a class action lawsuit over dodgy hard drives.
Yeah.
Some of the failure rates are pretty extreme there. But apparently it seems to be their 3-terabyte drives that are among the least reliable. So
it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So because I know Seagate's got a whole bunch of different 3-terabyte drives as well. So, I mean, was there a particular model of those?
Well, looks like a whole bunch. What's really bizarre is that the failure rates on the Western Digitals were really low, and the Seagate drives were much higher.
Man. Oh, I just remembered something.
Yeah.
I was going to start the podcast completely differently.
Yeah.
Can we go back and start again?
No. But you can tell us what you were going to do.
Well, this episode was supposed to be all about NAS drives featuring Adam Davidson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we haven't heard from him.
Note, he didn't post anything all week as far as links go.
Right.
Pretending he didn't listen to the podcast. Oh, I didn't hear it, guys. Otherwise, I would have been there.
Right.
Load of rubbish. Now, I noticed straight away, now when he knows we're recording, he's posting links again.
Yeah. Because he also posted a link about the CamFi.
He did. Did we talk about that last week?
Or was that something? Maybe it was last week. Yeah. Maybe we did cover that last week. Okay, forget that.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other one that he had was the thing about the new release of Lightroom, or the current update of Lightroom, which features...
That was last week as well.
Did we?
Yeah. The one that sort of stretches out the sides.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
You are getting old, aren't you? You're younger than me, but you're getting older.
Okay, well, I guess we're done then.
That sped it up at least, didn't it?
It did. That shortened it.
Sorry.
All right. Well, that was good.
That was a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Not for anyone else, but we enjoyed ourselves.
Exactly.
I'm going to go and learn about high-speed sync flash so I can run a class on Saturday about it.
Awesome.
And, it's easy to do by yourself.
Yes.
But trying to get six people with probably six different cameras with different brands, I'm a little worried about
this. And there'll always be people who don't know the menu of their own camera.
Exactly. Well, that's why I insisted for this workshop, everyone must have been to previous workshops of mine.
Right.
And the workshop's called The Guinea Pig's Guide to High-Speed Sync.
Nice.
Because they're all being guinea pigs to see if it works.
Yep.
See if I can make it work or not.
Nice.
So we'll see how badly it goes, and we'll talk about that next week.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, mate.
But I've got a couple of one-on-ones next week too, so I'll get some fun.
Cool.
Anyway.
All right. Well, you have a good week.
I intend to.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, matey. See Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.